Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to this week's episode of Radio Established to Address Life. I sound a hell of a lot better than what I feel, to be honest with you, family. Great week, a short, long week at the same time. As you all know, my uncle passed away a week before last, and we buried him, we buried his body because his spirit's been gone for some time now. The body was buried Monday of this week and whatnot, so I was in Baltimore to handle that family affair. That was over the Valentine's Day weekend, so definitely need to get into that, talk about that, so on and so forth. I've been inspired, though. There were a number of events that happened back to back. Unfortunately, as the old folks say, death usually comes in threes, and I'm hopeful, though it had to happen that way, that we are done as our own voices family. As I shared with you, I believe, last week, Rodney Smith, we lost a pivotal member of the foundation of Our Own Voices out in Vegas. I think he actually passed away last week, if memory serves me correctly. So first Audra, then my uncle, then not Rodney, but there's another brother out there, older brother, actually, that helped mentor Rodney and whatnot. He passed away. His last name just so happens to be Smith as well. So hopefully that is our three for some time, and we can sit back, recoup, recover, and press on. But in addition to that, I've met, and, you know, don't read any inference into this whatsoever, I've met a lot of very interesting men recently. You know, I have a big mouth. This is one of the reasons I do the show continuously. I love meeting people. That's my personality. So whenever I get to meet a cat, I tend to reach out to them and, you know, try to meet a cat. You can learn a lot from, you would be amazed at what you find out about people or learn about people in very quick and casual conversations. There was a young man that I met not so long ago, found out that he's a single parent. Now, that doesn't sound unique, but he's a single parent because his daughter was killed by her boyfriend, leaving the children to him. Now, you ask, is he divorced or whatnot? No, actually, he's widowed as well. So that was a very interesting meeting with this cat. You know, you see people, and though we are told all the time and we're taught, never judge a book by its cover, we tend to seize people pretty quickly because of what we see. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's be honest with you. Attraction in any shape, form, or fashion happens from the physical aspect. You see a person, whatever it is about them, how they carry themselves, how they look, whatever, attracts you to them, and you start a conversation. What that ending is something, you know, comes about through that conversation or the initial attraction, but that's what attracts most people to one another. So, you know, talking with him, like, I was blown away. I was like, wow, damn. I mean, how often do you hear and or see of such? So that was there. And then to fast forward that, my uncle was an awesome dude. You know, by no stretch of the imagination was he perfect. We all have our challenges and whatnot. He sure enough had his, like I said, as we all do. But he's talking about an awesome dude, man. I mean, I went to the viewing, and I said with the funeral director, jokingly, but to stern enough to let him know that I was serious. I was like, dude, you know, this may be the largest funeral you've ever had to handle. And, you know, he smiled off. He said, ah, okay. And I was like, okay, no, I'm being honest with you. You need to understand something. This is going to be huge. The church in which we're going to be in, I can guarantee you right now, it's going to be packed. And sure enough, lo and behold, the very next day at his funeral, church was packed. Every pew was full. The church had to bring out folding chairs in order to set those up in the back. Now, they had folding chairs on each side, and I want to say 6 to 8 rows deep on each side, and every folding chair was used that they pulled out. Now, there were about 3 left on the rack. And, you know, they have these new racks. I don't know if you all have seen these things or not, but it's like a mobile coat hanger, if you will, but it's folding chairs. It's a nice big thing, you know. It holds a lot of daggone chairs on both sides. And only 3 chairs were left on this whole daggone rack. That church was packed, dog. That church was, and some people chose not to sit down. They just, you know, were standing and whatnot. You know, this dude was a people person. He was a DJ in Baltimore for years, so he knew a lot of people through that. And then he got into nursing, which he quickly flipped over into being a union representative, and then he went to work for the union. So he worked for the union for 20-plus years, almost 30 years and whatnot. And so obviously he knew a whole lot of people through that. And then he, through his workings and dealings and whatnot, he bought a piece of this and invested his monies in that, and he invested in the security company and whatnot. So, again, this is another branch of him reaching out and just meeting all kinds of folks and all types of folks. Man, look, that was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful going home ceremony. I'm not one to go to funerals. You know, my grandfather, before he passed, talked to me about that, pulled me to the side. I said, look, these are the opportunities when these and you know, cookouts or family reunions, whatever, are the times when most of your family gets together. I understand how you feel, but you really need to be there. So from that point on, I've used more thought into not saying no and trying my best to be there for folks in the family as others have transitioned or whatnot. So I will say this not from a person who's been to a million funerals, but that was one of the deaths I've ever seen. And I thought about my own mortality in the situation because most of my friends are older than me. You know, I'm usually the youngest cat in the bunch. So if natural law happens, meaning the older will die before the youngest, most of my friends will be gone by the time I pass. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in the business of legacy building. I talked to one of my cousins about that before the funeral, at the funeral, and we've spoken since. You know, I've been on this mission for years. It's about legacy building for me. Yeah, I would love to have bukus of money. You know, that wouldn't be such a bad idea. But if it doesn't happen, I want that love, that respect, that admiration to live for me forever. And So that's why I'm on this whole kick about legacy building. You know what I mean? Now, that transitions me to today because I'm in Tampa today. My cousin retired from the United States Air Force. He served for 22, hold on, let me see. 23 years. Yep, by the time he actually punches, it'll be 23. So 23 years because we came in at the same time. He just came in a couple months before me. 23 years and whatnot, and I flew in along with a heck of a lot of other cats. We all flew in to partake in his retirement ceremony. Now, unfortunately, I missed the actual ceremony. I was pissed about that. You hear me? I missed it not because I was late. This is not one of those instances, so stop it. Stop it. That was not the case. Actually, I was on time. I was actually early. My plan was to get to the airport, get on an earlier flight to get here. Well, got to the airport, tried to get on an earlier flight. I was told that would not be the smartest thing to do because the connecting flights on all the earlier flights were full. So I stayed to wait for my flight. My flight gets canceled. Well, it didn't get canceled. There was a mechanical failure that pushed it back. Now, I was supposed to depart 20 yesterday morning. I left at quarter to 2 yesterday afternoon. So needless to say, his ceremony started at 1. Needless to say, I missed the whole damn thing. Wasn't happy about that. Got here, though, in time to make the dinner. You know what I'm saying? So though I couldn't spend time with him at the actual retirement ceremony, I had to spend time with him afterwards. The family, so on and so forth. Beautiful wife, kids, aunt, uncle, everyone was there. Great look. Really good look. You know what I mean? So we had a ball last night at the dinner. We went on to hang out a little later last night and whatnot. So I enjoyed that as well. It's not often that I get out. You know, I work nights and then, you know, transitioning from nights to waking up or doing my dangest to wake up to do the show on Saturday. And as I said before, you know, it's a lot that goes into the show that, you know, you might not think it's the before, the after, and the during. So it's that's just like, wow. And after all that's done, I usually take a nap, to be real with you. I usually take a nap, and then I get up, and I move about not really starting my weekend, whatever's left of my weekend and whatnot. So, but to see that sea of folks, to see, S-E-A, of folks from all over. I mean, one of his boys came in from California. There were several folks there from Oklahoma. I flew in. There were other folks that came in from the East Coast. Some folks came from more south in Florida. Some folks came in from the Panhandle. There were folks there from Alabama, Arkansas. I want to say Chicago. Chicago. You know, I mean, come on, dude. You name it, there were people there. It was representation. And the genuine love that they have for my cousin, it's what's up. I mean, you can't beat that with a freaking stick, man. You can't buy that. That's something you can't buy. That's something you work for. That's something that you earn. And the love, the respect, the gratitude, that's what's up. And, you know, he was on it, man. I mean, he was all over it. He was definitely appreciative. He said several times yesterday, he said, look, you know, all of this is wonderful, but the best thing about this whole thing, for real, my friends are here. You know what I mean? And I know it wasn't easy for you all to make it here, so I'm very appreciative that you came through. And, man, look, that sealed the deal for me, for real. You know, I shook my booty a little bit last night. I really did. I needed to. I needed that break. I needed that release, especially after all the things that's been going on in my end. You know, so I damn sure took advantage of that. I still didn't drink. Still didn't drink. Them jokers bought out a bottle service for some Crown and a bottle service for some Grey Goose and whatnot. Like, oh, you want, I'm good. Nope. It's been almost 20 years. I'm good. It's been almost 20. And I really don't miss it. You know, if you're not from Florida, you might not know this, but they smoke still in clubs and stuff down here. So, I stayed longer than I really would have, honestly, but again, for the love of my fans, I definitely stuck through and persevered and stuff. So that's what's up. We had a good old time, man. We had a good old time. I mean, I guess there were at least 30 of us in his party alone in the club last night. I mean, it's crazy, man. The dinner it was about 50 people at the dinner. You know, I can only imagine how many people made it to the retirement ceremony, because there were people that, you know, came that were still at work and they left, and there were others who came but they had to leave right back out for whatever their reasons and stuff. So, you know, I mean, it was I can't even imagine. I really can't even imagine how that all went down. But, you know, congratulations to him, Marcus. Big ups to you, man. Thank you for your service. Thank you for the time. You know, I appreciate the love and that you've always shown toward me, and I hope that I've given you as much, if not more, in return, without a doubt, because I damn sure appreciate you, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you've definitely been there for me when it wasn't really the bleakest of times, but it was a little dark in there, you know what I'm saying? So I escaped to Florida for this whole thing, thinking that it's going to be warm down this month. It's a little chilly down this piece. I'm like, what the hell? What's going on? This isn't really South Florida, but it's mid-Florida. It's pretty southern. You know, Tampa's pretty southern. I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, 70s, 80s. It's like 40, 50 degrees down this piece. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then, you know, the images come through of Niagara Falls, and portions of that are frozen. And I'm like, it's cold as hell. It is cold as hell when you freeze portions of Niagara Falls. Portions of Niagara Falls. When was the first time you ever heard of that? That is not the norm at all. But it is what it is. It is extremely rare for that to happen, and as the news story broke, and the quote here, an unprecedented cold front has frozen parts of Niagara Falls, drawing tourists to document the rare event. The minus 22-degree weather didn't stop iReporter Spencer Wiley from capturing the beauty of the falls on Thursday. It is phenomenal, man, and it does. It looks gorgeous. You know, there's I've been engaged with some Southerners about the winter, and they comment me about how they can't do it, and, you know, that's too cold, and blah, 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 they sleep. And my whole thing is, you know, you will never understand it unless you live through it, to be honest with you. There's nothing like the winter, especially when you're all booed up, and we'll go into that because we're going to have to backtrack a little bit to get to that point. But, when you're all booed up, man, it really is a beautiful thing. It really is a beautiful thing. You know, you go to work, you look forward to coming home, you look forward to spending time with your significant other and building upon your relationship. Because once it gets warm, let's be real, you're not always together all the time. You know, you have your things that you want to do, they have the things that they want to do, and they're not always inclusive of the other. A lot of times they will be, but not always. So winter is really that time that you get to spend together. You can plot, you can plan, you can map out some things, you know what I'm saying? You can do some head checks, you can do some relationship checks, you can do some gut checks, you can really understand where the other person's coming from, and they really understand where you're coming from. Because, I mean, you're basically locked in with one another. You know, seriously, it's 3-4 months, whatever, that you're locked in with one another. So you're definitely going to get to know one another on a deeper level. Hopefully you will get to know one another on a deeper level than just hi, bye, and me and my, you know what I mean? But, okay, so back to the booed up part. Obviously, first off, confession, I lied. I said last week that I had no intention, and I didn't have any intention of going to 50 Shades of Grey. I was staunchly against it, not my thing at all. I didn't want to support it whatsoever. However, I was told that I was going as a part of the Valentine's Day weekend. So I kindly picked myself up, pulled out my wallet, and said, okay, let's go. There are certain battles that you don't need to fight. As I've gotten older, I've learned that better. So I did not fight that battle. I just said that I'll chuck it up as a loss. I'll admit to my lie, and I'll move forward. Again, I didn't lie because I had no intention of going whatsoever. But I did go, so I wanted to come forward and let you all know that, hey, shit happens. It happened to me. Now, I went to see this movie, and I'm sitting there. And as the movie went on, it was okay. You know, I'm not paying attention to the movie as much as I'm paying attention to her. Because I'm looking at her, looking at me like, oh, that ain't going to happen. Oh, this ain't going to happen. Oh, you would never. And I'm like, why are you looking at me? I've not done, you know, some of that stuff. I'm not even suggesting a lot of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And she's just like, yo, don't even think it. And I'm like, hey, you can think whatever you want to say. And that means it's going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I'm like, okay, whatever. So, moved on and whatnot. Yeah, look, it was a stupid ass ending. I don't know. I hope you haven't. I hope you've seen it by now. But if you haven't, spoiler alert, it was a stupid ass ending. I'm not going to tell you exactly what happened. But it was a stupid ass ending. It made no sense to me, with the exception of, as the news has reported, so I can say it, there's going to be another part. Now, obviously, there are three books, so there's a potential for there to be two more parts. But there's actually going to be another part. I'm like, yes. I will try yet again not to see that one, to be honest with you. Because the first one, it just didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. You know, so that is what that is. Shucks. But it made a boatload of money. I think it made, what, $81.7 million over the first. I mean, it stomped. It crushed. The box office, it crushed the box office. People were waiting for this thing, you know. And I've heard reports of people walking out on it because they were like, this is dumb, it's just too much. You know, as a grown person, I'm not shocked nor surprised as to whatever people do in the bedroom, to be honest with you, because I know how I feel about being in the bedroom. And for me, it's a place of relief. And I'm not going to hold back if I'm with someone that I trust, if I'm with someone that I love. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to do everything to please them as well as myself, because through pleasing them, I actually please myself. So I'm not shocked at that at all. I wasn't appalled by it. You know, people do what they do. I didn't think it was anything over the top or just like, oh, my God, what are you thinking? Like, you know, some of that stuff I'm like, nah, I wouldn't even try that play for it. But, you know, hey, to each their own. It wasn't anything that I wasn't aware of was happening or had happened. You know, it was just on the big screen for everybody to see and talk about in some form or fashion later on, be it right after the movie or as I'm discussing right now, you know? So I don't see the point in people walking out. I really don't. I don't know what they thought they were coming to see. I don't know if they didn't read the book, but had they read the book, maybe it would have saved them some time and money, because, you know, God dang it, movies are not cheap. By no stretch of the God dang on imagination. Hell, it costs more to take somebody to damn movie than it does to take them depending on where you want to eat dinner. You know, to take them to dinner. It's ridiculous, especially when, you know, you add the popcorn and stuff and the sodas and stuff. You know, shucks, it's like $24, $25 for two people just to get into the movies. Depending on where you are, it could be a little more, it could be a little less. Hell, you add the popcorn and all that stuff in there, that's like another $20, you know, that's $45. You can take two people. The freaking, with the PHA, you get two people for $40. I believe you do two for $20. This is bullshit. Like, yeah, I understand. A lot of movies do so damn expensive. For real. But, you know, people go and supply and demand. That's what you do. That was that. It turned out to be a very nice weekend overall. There was plenty of smoke. It wasn't plenty of snow, but it did snow, and it was a lot of wind in Baltimore. So, you know, that sucked. It was pardon me, it was, to utilize my Oakland language, it was hella cold. It was definitely hella cold. Shucks, I went out one day, and the temperature set for that day was 1 degree. So, you know, with the wind chill factor and all that jazz, it was probably negative 12, man. It was cold up that piece. I was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, I moved away for a couple of months, and, I forgot what it was like, and I'm sitting there like, I actually miss this shit. But I really do, man. I miss it. I miss the cold. As I said a few moments ago, I think it's a very cool time of the year. Well, no pun intended, but I do. I think it's a very, you know, cool time of the year. I think you can have a whole lot of fun in the winter. It's a hell of a lot more flexible than the summer months when it's just too damn hot. You know what I'm saying? It's just too damn hot. And dig that. You know, we don't know what we want. If it's too damn hot, oh, God. If it's too cold, oh, God. If it's too cold, we don't know what the hell we want. Because we just don't. We want, like, 68 degrees every day, I guess. I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't. But, you know, we have four seasons for a reason. Enjoy them. You know, speaking of reasons, and four seasons. So there was a sinkhole up in Mass. Was it in Mass or was it in New Jersey? In which a snowplow was sunk into that joint. Let me see. And this happened today. The images came through today. It was Jersey. A snowplow was going along. Looked like it was doing this normal, regular thing. Not the big old city ones. Another one, you know, like a pickup truck with a daggone snowplow in front of it. And a freaking sinkhole hit, and that swallowed that freaking truck up. That mug went right in there, like damn cartoon was crazy. I was watching that on CNN this morning. I was like, wow, really? That's how we getting down now. What's causing all these damn sinkholes? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, sinkholes aren't new. They've been around forever. I can dig that. But they are just popping up all over the place. It has to, well, it doesn't have to, but for me, it points to the question of, like, all this drilling, this fracking, natural gas stuff, I know it's great because it's cheap, but is that causing us more problems than good, to be real with you, to be honest? I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot more sinkholes seemingly in the news than there have been in quite some time. So I wonder if the two are connected. I'm not above, you know, connecting dots and understanding that the one does have a direct impact on the other. And if there is truly a connection between the two, then what can we do to prevent this stuff from happening? Because, you know, lo and behold, you're sitting in your home one day, and all of a sudden your living room's gone because the damn sinkhole just pop up underneath your house. What kind of crap is that? Who does that? You know what I'm saying? Really, what? As the old saying used to go, where they do that at? You know, but hell, the way these things are popping up all over the place, man, it is truly possible. It is truly possible. That is not in the realm of fiction anymore. That is highly likely. Well, not highly. It is definitely more likely to happen now than as I said, you know, in times past. You know, but the world in which we live in today, I guess that's where we are. So news broke because Giuliani, former Mayor Rudy Giuliani of New York, made some very disparaging comments about the President of the United States of America as to he's not seeing the love, the respect for country from President Obama that he saw in Bush's, the Reagan, the Clinton, so on and so forth. Now, I don't get it. Again, on CNN, there was a collage of what Obama has said directly about what he loves and what he doesn't love. And he said 5-6 times before the collage started veering off into other things that he loves, how much he loves America and the country and the people and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wow. Why even have that dude's name in your mouth at this point? To be honest, you're washed up as a mayor. You're not doing anything. No one's going to elect you to any other office. And then, you know, I mean, he's done. The president is done. He has 2 more years to get through. He's done. No one can run against him anymore. You know, obviously you can always lay down the foundation and say whomever picks up the charge behind him is going to carry forward his plans and his institutions and his way of thinking. Yeah, you can do that. I don't know how successful it'll be, depending on how the nominees come out for not only the Republican side but also the Democratic side. But you can do that. I just don't see the point, though. I think it's a little too early for that. This is 2015. The 2016 race will not really heat up until October, November this year. You'll see those who really have the gumption to run really step forward and start pushing for their runs and monies and so on and so forth. You'll see those whom were half in the game, but more or less playing the game to get their name out there versus playing the game to really run, start to pull out around that time frame. I mean, this in my opinion, is a little too early. He came back with his comments cannot be racist, I think, because someone accused him of racism, whatever, because Obama's half white. That was dumb as hell to say. He came back with non-apology, but walking the comments back a little bit, but still not apologizing for what he said. He says he's saved by them, so on and so forth. Dude, whatever, dude. Rudy needs it. It's no wonder he did this on Fox. Let's be honest. There's no wonder he did this on Fox. There are very few outlets that are really going to give him an opportunity to speak. He's a no disrespect to my elders, but he needs to just sit down. He needs to sit down. He's not doing anyone any good. He's actually hurting the candidates in 2016 for making stupid comments like this, because now they have to pick a side even earlier than they would have really picked a side, because they need to stave off any negative backlash that might come from his comments. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a ripple of that. It's ugly. This dude, I think he's a name junkie, to be honest with you. He wants his name up in lights. He wants his name on the marquee, whatever. You know, he wants to go make the late night circuit on all those shows. And, you know, he wants to be relevant. At the end of the day, he wants to be relevant. And he's no longer relevant, to be honest with you. You know, he's no longer relevant. Obama killed Bin Laden. Shut up, Rudy. It is what it is. You know, you're just mad because you didn't get the opportunity to bask in that limelight, to be honest with you. And that be about the size of that. Coming out of, I want to say, Kansas, from one virus to the next, there's a new virus that was discovered. And it was discovered because a man died in Kansas. It's been named the Bourbon virus. Now, if you've not heard of this, I'm pretty sure you will pretty soon, because everybody and their mama will be talking about this, especially if 2-3 other people pass away. But the article goes, and this is from CNN.com, the CDC has discovered a new virus that may have contributed to a Kansas man's death. The agency announced on Friday, named the Bourbon virus after the county where the patient lived. The virus is likely spread by tick or insect bites. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says now, this is very important, obviously, because the weather is about to change. It's been very cold. There may be a huge increase in the tick population. I don't know if they're like mosquitoes or not, but there may be, because it's been so cold that the larva was given even more, a better chance to survive and whatnot. And, you know, it may be a huge, I don't know if they have larva or not. I got to look that up. But anyhow, there may be a huge influx of ticks this year. So very definitely, listen to me. It is definitely something to keep in mind as the kids go outside and play and stuff. You know what I'm saying? You don't want the kids winding up dead from a freaking tick bite or whatever other insect may carry the disease. It says the year old man suffered multiple tick bites in the spring of 2014 while working outside on his property. The CDC said in an article published in the agency's infectious disease journal, the man fell ill over the next 2 days, went to a doctor on the third day, was hospitalized and died of a heart attack 11 days later after becoming sick. While the man was hospitalized, test results for many infectious diseases came back negative. The press release said the blood sample was sent to the CDC, which determined a new virus had been discovered. The press release said the man's symptoms included fever, tenderness, rash, headache, other bodily aches, nausea, and vomiting. The man had low blood counts for cells that fight infection and help prevent bleeding. Though the CDC only has one case to work with, the agency said it is likely that Bourbon's virus is spread through tick or other insect bites. CDC recommends people protect themselves from tick bites by using insect repellents, wearing long sleeve shirts and pants, avoiding bushy and wooded areas, and checking for ticks after spending time outdoors. The Bourbon virus, part of a group of viruses linked to tick or insect bites in Europe, Asia, and Africa, the CDC said. This is the first time a virus in this group known as, I'm not even going to try to read that, has been known to cause illness in the United States. It is Thogato viruses. That's the name of it. So be careful out there, folks. You know what I'm saying? We definitely need you all around. We definitely need you to do your part to help this society become a better society, and we cannot have you if you're passing away because the freaking tick bit you. This is going to be a short show because, obviously, I'm still here and I have other things to do with the family and stuff today. But I wanted to come on and make a couple things known. In addition to that, I want to read this last article because I think this is very interesting. This is about a lawyer whom is here in Florida, and he's trying to help folks at DUI checkpoints. Now, this is from the 11th of this month. I just caught wind of this. But a criminal defense attorney is gaining national attention after his message about DUI checkpoints went viral. Warren Redlich is a criminal defense attorney based in Boca Raton, Florida. In 2013, he published a book called Fair DUI and launched a website of the same name, fairdui.org. Redlich's message is that when drivers approach a DUI checkpoint, they are not required to roll down their windows and talk to police. He says by doing so, drivers open themselves up. The problem. Redlich is not the first with this kind of message, but he is getting a lot of attention after the video he posted on Bible on New Year's Day. It received 2.3 million views. It wasn't what any of us expected, he told us. This is being reported by News 10. Redlich says the problem lies in allowing ordinary person the ability to assert his or her right to remain silent without actually speaking. To fix this problem, Redlich has created downloadable signs that can be printed out and put in the car. The signs are even customized for 10 states, and it lists the states: New York, Florida, California, New Jersey, Ohio, Arkansas, Utah, Texas, Georgia, and South Carolina. The purpose of the flyer, Redlich says, is to keep drivers from voluntarily rolling down his or her window. He said if a driver voluntarily rolls down his or her window and voluntarily speaks, then the police officer hasn't done anything wrong, and it makes it harder for a defense attorney to defend someone. I've seen innocent people who pleaded guilty because they couldn't figure out or afford an attorney. Really, Redlich's website very clearly states that his signs are not for drunk people. Now, how are you going to say that? Are drunk people going to do that? Seriously? Duh. When asked if he thinks his signs will protect drunks or drivers, he said, this is not about helping drunks. This is about helping innocent people. If some drunk person along the way gets help because of this, I'm perfectly okay with that. I'm a criminal defense attorney. He said his signs require people to remain patient, silent, and follow directions. These are all things impaired drivers have a hard time doing. His system, he said, won't work for drunks anyway. Redlich said he's hearing from people all over the country. I had a call this morning from a retired police officer He did check points and always thought they were wrong. We spoke with a Coolidge Law School professor, Kurt Vincent, who said this effort is not new and it's clear Red Lake is using the signs as more of a marketing tool for his book than really to help people and to build up his practice, right? Vincent also pointed out a problem with the printed signs. He said not a spot check. He did a spot check on Red Lake signs created in Florida. The card Red Lake has on his website states, "I do not have to show you my license." However, just 6 months ago, July 1st, Florida law changed using display to the phrase, "You must present or submit your license upon demand for a police officer." I think the legislature struck the word display on purpose. The overall point is here, his card is already archaic. There's no way to update these things. Vincent said, he went on to say the law is very dynamic. It's always changing. The other problem is if a police officer has a small card held against the window, I'm going to say, I can't read it. The average officer on the street is not going to get on his knees and read the driver's license, like Vincent said. He doesn't think the driver should be put in the position to determine on the spot what is legal, what is legal and what isn't. You know, and when I read that, you know, obviously St. Patty's Day is right around the corner, thinking about that. We just got through New Year's Day, and then Mother's Day is coming, and Father's Day is coming, and Memorial Day, and, you know, all the holidays as they start to roll through. And people tend to nip and drive. I don't drink anymore. So even when I did drink, I didn't drive. That's just not my thing. I never believed in it at all. I thought it was a very bad practice. And unfortunately, a lot of people have lost their lives because of that damn practice. But some people are stuck in their ways. Some people will do what they want to do no matter what. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping that the signs that he provided does help those who are innocent and does not help those who are guilty. You know, but if they don't, then so be it. He's right, you know? I wanted to thank you all for your time this week. I really need to get myself together, family. Yesterday was horrible because of delays and all that type of jazz. I didn't get a lot of sleep. Because of everything that went on last night, I didn't get a lot of sleep. I know I sound horrible, but I didn't want to leave you all without me coming on this week. Next week, I'll be back in Baltimore and stuff, so definitely want to do the show in full from there, work on some things, get it all mapped out and laid out. But, again, it's important that we're consistent. If we don't do the whole 2 hours like we normally do, it's at least consistent that we're here and that we're on time. As I've said a million and one times, I appreciate your time and your thoughtfulness, and I don't want you to ever have that impression that I don't. So those things are very important to me. Again, I want to say thank you for all those who shot me messages, be it directly through my inbox, through my email, through my text messages, about the loss of my uncle. I want to thank all those who I work with as you express your condolences in your kind words and put up with the fact that I've been out the office for a couple of days. I appreciate and respect you all for that. You all be good. You all be safe. But most importantly, God dang it, you all stay warm. Have a great one. Talk to you next week. Peace.